May whichever words we speak today, may someone hear the echo of your voice in ours, because of what we say or in spite of what we say. Amen. Alex, let there be light. Thank you. We heard a creation story today. In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, when it was first told, there were many creation stories. There still are. And this story was first told to people living in slavery. And it said something about the earth and the people and about God and about the relationship of love between them. I'd like you to hold that thought. When this story was first told, there were other stories. They were very different. In the Greek creation story, the wife and the sons of Uranus rebelled against him, and the world of humanity was born of blood and hatred and violence. In the Babylonian story, the sons of the goddess Tiamat rebelled against her and tore her apart and used her body and veins to become the earth and the rivers. And the world of humanity was born in blood and anger and war. Both these stories and many others try to explain how the world is a place of blood and anger, how the gods reward soldiers and encourage warfare, how the gods choose sides, favoring one nation over another, and how the gods use humanity to work out their own struggles for power. And then there's the Hebrew story, or stories, for there are several in the Bible and they all emphasize different things. These stories explain something very different. To a people enslaved and surrounded by war over generations, the Hebrew story of creation is not a story of slavery. It is not a story of violence or of hatred or blood. The Hebrew story is a story of love and of great beauty. It's a story of wonder and relationship, a story of human worth and aspiration, not aspiration to conquest, which is the foundation of so many of the others, but to be again a part of all that it is to be good. When David the king looked up at the skies over Jerusalem, and he was not good, but he was trying, he wrote a psalm that goes like this: "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars that you have established, what are human beings that you are mindful of them, mortals, that you would care for them?" In the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth, God said or sang, "Let there be light," and there was light. In the beginning, when the United Church was formed, people in small rural churches on the prairies and in large theology schools in cities were talking not about committees and not about governance. Well, they were, but that wasn't the really important discussion. Many were actually talking about God and the Bible and the story of creation. In the late 19th and 20th century, ministers and scholars had started to share what scholars had known for centuries. They were sharing the story of how the Bible came to be written. And they taught the Bible that the Bible was not a book. It was a library. Like any good library, it has novels, mysteries, and romances. It has books of the law and books of music and of poetry. It has books of history. It has instruction manuals: how to build a temple, how to kill animals humanely, how to make certain kinds of cloth, how to cook certain recipes, detailed instructions. It has long family sagas. It has advice books and self-help books. It has books of advice for young men on avoiding gambling and loose women, and a section for women on how to be good at business. I'm not kidding. And it has very important books and parts of books that try to explain why humans are the way they are, and that we all live in a dynamic relationship with one another and with the land and with God. And then we have a whole section that's kind of like, honestly, a court document. It's kind of like a police record of a case. It has the witness statements of the witnesses to the life and actions of a man called Jesus of Nazareth, and the growing movement of his followers that became the church. So in small towns across the country, in church basements and church sanctuaries, men, women, and children gathered to talk about that scholarly work. Because that was a time when Bible members likely read passages from the Bible every day, usually at night before bed, sometimes with the whole family. They brought their own Bibles to church, and they read and compared with what the preacher was preaching. And the people talked, and they argued, and they believed that learning about this was one of the most important activities of their week, not just for ministers. The women's groups would talk about it while they were minding 10 or more children and organizing a march against alcohol. And the men's groups would talk about it while they built churches and barns. And while all this was going on, the world was moving once again towards war. And when war broke out in Europe and Africa and Asia, the First World War, all those conversations were set aside and put on hold. The dream of a united church in Canada was put on hold. And people stopped talking mostly about the creation story and instead started again to use the stories of war. Britain made statues of the ancient Greek and Roman gods. And Canadians quoted the war stories from David and Solomon. And ministers and churches became recruitment centers for the war. At the same time, especially in the U.S., there were groups that marshaled, did you notice that little metaphor there, marshaled their forces against the teaching of the Bible as a witness rather than a literal telling of history. And these people became known as fundamentalists. And they raised funds and they fought the idea that the Bible was a library. And instead they taught that the Bible is the literal word of God, but that only they, a small group of relatively rich conservatives, could rightly interpret which parts of the Bible you should take literally. So, for example, they said, you don't have to take Jesus' words about feeding the poor literally. That's just a metaphor. But you're supposed to take the creation story literally, not the emphasis on love and relationship and goodness, but the part about 6 days and the order of creation and who's in charge. And when the World War was over, and the people of the Methodist, Presbyterian, and Congregationalist churches in Canada again began to speak about unity, they found themselves moving in some respects from one war to another. From the First World War to what has been called the Bible Wars. The first literally a war, and the second metaphorically a war. The war over whether to teach that the Bible was dictated by God and which parts to take literally, or to teach that it is a library of people's understanding and experience of God, inspired by God in relationship. And ultimately, the United Church chose the second, believing that Bible study and interpretation was the work of all believers, that God inspired the writing of these works and continues to inspire our telling and understanding of the story. Because of that, some churches chose not to join the United Church. And because of this, in many ways, the war still continues. The war for the minds and the hearts and the souls of Christians, and the war for who will hold power, because ultimately this is a story about power, over church and government and education and science and the military. Will the story we tell be a story of love and relationship? Will the story of the creation speak to us of tending a garden and the possibility of working together for the kingdom of God? Or will the story of creation be a story of laws and limits and smallness, a story to bolster the power of one group over another? From the very beginning, this creation story was not about science. It's not an instruction manual. No matter how often I read it, I will not be able to make a world. From the beginning, the creation story was an answer to the stories that God demands blood and war. A story of enormous, unbelievable power to make a world, a universe, through a calling together of the elements of possibility. Those words, God said, let there be light, are more correctly interpreted as either God sang to the light or God called to the light. And the world was called into being, and it was good, not bloody, but beautiful. And we were called into being in the same way, called not as warriors, but as wanderers and wanderers, to build, not to destroy, to create together with God, to recognize the limits of our understanding, and not to assume that we are the ones who always know the mind of God. A story told to people in slavery, not because there were only two choices, warfare or death, but because there were many ways to live in relationship with God and others. This is the choice that the United Church made. Coming out of one violent war into a world they believed had the possibilities for the kingdom of God. We continue to make that choice. That this story of creation is vitally important, not because it tells us how to make a world in 6 days, but because it tells us about the kind of world we want to work towards. May it be so.